Thank you for that beautiful song, too. Thank you, Lorna, for playing. Once again, it's wonderful to have children. God takes great pleasure in them. I'm so glad for that passage of Scripture that tells us that Jesus took them on His knee, picked them up, or gathered them up, because so often, there's times anyway, that we would be tempted to do what the disciples did and maybe ignore them a little bit. But I'm so grateful for children, and that Jesus spent time with children. And the psalmist tells us that children are a heritage from the Lord. Blessing it is to have that heritage of children. They're a gift from God. And being a gift, we find it natural for us to want to give our children back in dedication. And that's what this is all about. Coming here this morning to dedicate our children, dedicate these children to the Lord. And in that process, Troy and Christy and Adam and Kendra dedicate themselves and present themselves to the task of needing God's help and raising these boys to serve God and to be faithful to God. And accompanying them this morning as grandparents and even a great-grandparent. So glad for a great-grandparent being able to be here as well as the grandparents to participate in this special time this morning. Once again, I call your attention as we look at dedication to the passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy that tells us these words: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." I could stop there and just inject just this little thought that if it's in our heart, then it makes it easy for the rest of it to come into play. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And Jesus took them up and blessed them, and he said that these are of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. There's no bigger calling. Troy and Christy, you have Devin with you. And Adam and Kendra have Amara with them. They know a little bit about it. But there's no higher calling than doing the best, doing your best to teach these children to serve God. And the best thing that you can do is teach them the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge or the beginning of wisdom. Everything that your children learn, everything that Eli learns from Scripture, everything that you teach to Asher from Scripture will be the basis for their worldview, as we hear so much about. It will be the basis for their decisions. It will be the structure by which they structure their lives. Everything coming back and hinging upon their understanding of God's Word and the fear of the Lord. Devant and Amara, you have a big responsibility too of helping your little brothers to serve God. They don't understand it at this point by any means, but there's a tremendous role that's played with them as well. Troy and Christy, Adam and Kendra, by coming forward before God in this assembly this morning, this group of people that have become church family, you are declaring your desire to present yourselves and to dedicate Eli and Asher to the Lord. Is that correct? Now, we cannot dedicate our little ones unless we ourselves, as parents, are committed to the task of raising them, training them, rearing them. So I have four questions that I'd like to ask you. You've heard before, but on this occasion to hear them again. Do you recognize today that this child, this Eli and Asher, are a gift of God? And knowing that, from the heart of thanks, you give God praise for his blessing. And do you now dedicate your child to the Lord who gave him to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon his life in the hope that he will belong wholly to the Lord? Thirdly, do you pledge as parents, with God's fatherly help, that you will bring Eli, that you will bring Asher into the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the Word of God, the character of Christ, and the joy of the Lord into his life? Fourthly, do you promise God helping you to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace, that Eli will come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Asher will come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins and for the fulfillment of his promise to them that eternal life is theirs, and that in this faith follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and obey his teaching? He promised to do that. Asher this morning. Our Father in heaven, as we hold the precious life of little Asher in our arms this morning, and as Adam and Kendra for you, to give him in dedication to you, I pray that you would grant Adam and Kendra that they need, the understanding that they need in training, bringing him up in the nurture and the admonition of Christ, the fear of the Lord. This little Asher, with his innocent hands and innocent mind, innocent feet, being brought up in a world that is tainted by sin and darkness and evil, I pray that you would build a hedge about him. I pray that you would protect him by the word of your grace and of your salvation. Protect his mind and his eyes, his hands, his feet, that they would always do what you would have them to do, that he would grow up to serve you, that he would grow up to be faithful in his life of serving Jesus Christ, that he would be an honor to his parents. Bless him, I pray, even now as we dedicate him to you, giving parents the wisdom that is needed, the grace supplied, that Asher would come to know you very early in age as his Lord and Savior. We dedicate him to Christ this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Always live for Jesus Christ. Amen. And for Eli, Lord Jesus, we hold Eli in our arms this morning. Here again is a precious life that has been given. We thank you. His mind and hands, feet and eyes are all innocent today, surrounded by a world that is treacherous and evil and dark. I pray, O God, that you would give Troy and that they need and the help that they need him and train him and teach him. We dedicate him to you today. We ask that you would give that help that is needed, that he would always serve you, always be faithful to you. Protect him, build a hedge about him, guard his mind and his heart, and his eyes and his ears, his hands, his feet, that they would always do what you would have them to do. We pray, Lord, that you would bless him. Pray, Lord, that you would give him a special touch from heaven as we dedicate him here right now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to always live for Jesus Christ, to be in service to the King of Kings. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The challenge to you this morning is that you do your best to encourage, to help, to strengthen the parents, and to teach the children as well. Tremendous role as grandparents. And a thought came to me yesterday as I was holding somebody else's little one. I said, this must be what grandparents is like, letting the children do stuff that I wouldn't have done, allowed my children to do. And yet it's such a responsibility to help corral that as well. Grandparents, you have a tremendous, tremendous role in this as well. And church, we do. And I ask for your commitment once again as we have these two children here dedicating them to the Lord, that we will do what we can to support the parents, Troy and Christy, Adam and Kendra, in raising their children for the glory of God, for the service of the King. And again I say, making it easy for them to go to heaven and hard to go to hell. Would you commit to our responsibility by saying amen to these two children? Amen. Praise God. We have this for the children. See if I get one, which one's right here. Sicklers and Thomas's. Lord bless you. May the children grow up to serve Jesus. Thank you. Unless you think that something drastic was going on, nothing major was going on, allowing that child yesterday doing something bad. It's just something insignificant, something that a grandparent would ignore. At least I think that's what a grandparent would do. There's been a lot of question about baby dedication, child dedications. Is it a biblical thing? Is it something that we ought to do or ought to refrain from doing? And I guess when you grow up with it, it just becomes a practice that you find easily acceptable and don't think too much about. But in looking it over and checking things out, as I've heard people say that it's unnecessary or whatever, I ran across this statement. In a majority of Protestant denominations, the practice of child dedication is a symbolic ceremony undertaken by Christian parents. Some churches perform these in mass and have several couples and children participate at the same time. The rite, this ceremony, is intended to be a public statement by the parents that they will train their children in the Christian faith and seek to instill that faith in them. And the congregation affirm that they, as a church family, will also seek to encourage the parents in bringing up the child in the faith. There is no implied salvation in the ceremony. Now, I've heard people say, well, I was baptized as a child, and so they thought that they were ready for heaven. They would make it to heaven. And this is not in any way something that would be taken as a ticket to heaven. This is simply a ceremony acknowledging the need of God's help and dedicating the child to God. And we've used Hannah as an example so many times. And maybe it's a far-fetched example that we use, that we draw from. But Hannah prayed and prayed and sought God with a passionate heart to find or to have and to hold a child of her own. And she dedicated that child to the Lord, and we know that story. We may not know the exact ages that took place or when various things took place, but we understand that at a certain age, Hannah took that little boy back to the temple to serve, literally serve God. And that's something more than what you and I do in our dedication. I can't imagine the intense instruction that mother must have given to Samuel during those early, early years to be able to form and shape his mind. Although they are the most formative years, quite often we think that we have to wait for a certain number of years to pass before we can begin really training, but training really begins early. And Hannah proves that it's necessary and it's profitable. Because even though Samuel was in the house of God, there was a lot of wickedness and sin that was going on around Samuel. Very easily, he could have been led astray. Very easily, he could have been drawn into the sinful web. But somehow, for one thing, God had his hand on him, but I believe also Hannah had instilled something in him of the fear of the Lord. Surely that must have been it. Because she couldn't have taught him everything, but instruction in giving him the fear of the Lord. Not only do we have that as an example to lean on in dedicating our children, but we also see in Luke chapter 2 that Mary and Joseph took Jesus back to the temple after 40 days, I believe it was, to present him to the Lord. Now, I suppose we could debate what that phrase, presenting him, means. But it would seem that there was a presentation, that a giving back to God in that time. Even though he came directly from God, as God, there was still a dedicating or a presenting before the Lord. Now we have two different ordinances in Scripture that essentially we would look at as commands. Jesus tells us to partake of what we call the Lord's Supper, communion. May not be an actual command, but there's a strong emphasis on participating in that ordinance. And baptism, very strong wording there about baptism in Scripture. And it would appear that these two ordinances are part of the church. Part of our lives. Most of us here, we've grown up with those two. Majority of us have probably been baptized. The majority of us have participated in the Lord's Supper. Those two things still are just outward, public signs of what Christ is doing or has done within us. And the participation of the Lord's Supper is an ongoing act, an ongoing sign. And so we look at baby dedication the same way, though it is not an officially instituted ordinance of the church. As long as parents do not view it as assuring of salvation for the child, but a dedication, a presenting of themselves, and a dedication of the child to God as we do our best to raise them, as we do our best to lead them. And that is a big task. I don't know if any of us here this morning would feel qualified to give full instruction on how it is to lead. Some of you have grown children, grown grandchildren, working on the great-grands. And while we would perhaps look around at people with that kind of a resume, see their children serving the Lord and being faithful to the Lord, if somebody can get that so that it's not going to disturb anymore, that'd be fine. Hate for somebody to get stung. There's still always an apprehension about do we have it right when it comes to raising children. Let me suggest to you this morning that there's three basic elements involved with raising a child. As we raise a child with the focus of them coming to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that they come to the knowledge, personal experience. That should be our focus. Not getting them a good job, not getting them married, but the first and foremost focus would be that they come to know Jesus Christ, that they experience redemption the way God wants us to experience redemption. Three things. First of all is prayer. We cannot bring our children to that knowledge without prayer. We cannot expect them to experience without praying for them. Seriously praying for them. It's a very important, if not the most important part of the process of evangelizing our own children, is praying for them. Praying that God would give wisdom to us, parents. God would give us wisdom as church leaders and church people and family. That God would provide grace for these children as He has provided grace for all of us. And in the sense that they feel it and they experience it, that they know about it, that they have faith. Again, James tells us that if we lack wisdom, we can ask of God. He gives us wisdom, and we need His wisdom. And Ephesians tells us that grace is a gift of God, or salvation is by grace through the gift of faith. And so we need to be praying that the gift of faith would be given to our children. Folks, whether we want to admit it or not, in certain times of our lives, there's a lot of things that can distract our children and can distract us. Sometimes those distractions may not be an overnight distraction, but a subtle distraction. Something that slowly leads us away and then leads our children away. Or something that comes to our children's life that is a stumbling block to them. And if we're not careful, very, very careful as parents, our children may stumble over something that we aren't paying close enough attention to get a hold of and to see, thereby causing our children, or allowing our children, to struggle and to stumble. That's a very real aspect. We need to be praying not only for the gift of faith for them, not only for wisdom and for grace to be shown to them, but we also need to be praying that the Holy Spirit would draw our children unto Him. Do we still believe that it's the Holy Spirit that draws? It's not just because they attend Wiseball Community Church, or that they go to a Christian school, or that they go to VBS, or that they participate in Sunday school. That's not going to be the saving virtue. Those things are helpful. Those things are necessary in their growth with Christ, but are we praying that the Holy Spirit will draw them? How can we pray that way? Could I suggest this morning that one of the first things of us praying that way is that we would pray that God would so saturate our services with His presence that it would become normal for them to sense and to feel His presence early in life, early on. That a shouting person wouldn't be strange to them. That a praying person wouldn't be strange to them. That a move of God in our services wouldn't be strange to them. That the power of God would be such to draw them early and prick their hearts early in life. Some of you got saved in your single-digit years. Why was that? Was it because you were just a special child? Or was it that somewhere along the line the Holy Spirit spoke keenly to your heart? Probably that's the case. the Holy Spirit spoke keenly to your heart in the midst of some special, special time. We need to pray that our children experience those times. We need to be praying that that God will draw us to Himself so much that God becomes the reality of our lives so that we can be role models, good role models, because actually we are always role models, but we could be good role models to our children. Don't take it for granted, but actually live it out day by day, moment by moment, in practical ways of our lives, everyday instances of our lives, that our children see the practicality of God's Word working in us, praying that God would draw us as good role models. And that gives us that thought of us being an example as the second point. We must be a good examples, a good visual model of what God wants us in our relationship to Christ to be. That God's Word is a priority in our lives. That prayer is a priority in our lives. That church is a priority in our lives. And that all of these things is what our life is built around rather than these things built around our lives. They can see, our children can see the priorities, and they will know that if we have a different faith on Sunday than what we have on Monday, but that they would see that church, the Bible, and prayer is what our lives are built around, structured from. Living out the Word of God. This does not say that we are faultless. It does not say that we don't have failures. And it does not say that God can't overrule our faults and failures. God can overrule our faults and failures. But when we have these things, these times, or these moments, whatever it may be, we must be ready to confess them to God and admit those failures to our children and make every effort to walk the talk. Make every effort to walk the talk. The third thing, prayer, example, the third thing is instruction. Somebody said age-appropriate instruction. Now that's a word to add in there, or two words to add in there, isn't it? Age-appropriate. Now I suppose that we probably understand that there are some things that our youngest children don't understand and our oldest ones would. So we have to take that into account. But let's just talk about instruction for spiritual matters. It's crucial that we instruct our children. I've said it before. We can say it again. We can talk about it. We can look at it, but it's so necessary for us to take the very simple things of life and make them teachable moments. Teachable moments. We can talk to our children about the beauty of the sunrise, if you know about there even is a sunrise, or that there's a sunset. The beauty of the trees. We can take the things of creation, as the psalmist did in the 19th Psalm, and tell our children and speak to our children about the beauty and the wonder and the power of God in creation. Is that age appropriate at any age? Starting early to teach them. To teach them. We can teach them through the incidences that we see around us. That the way of the transgressor is hard. That's not a hard thing to teach our children, because there's examples all around us. That the way of the transgressor is hard. See, your decisions and your choices will lead you that direction if you go that way. If your choices, now it doesn't happen overnight. Some people think that happened overnight, that it was just a sudden thing. But no, it didn't happen overnight. It was the choices that was made to lead them that direction. And then we also have on the other side of things, we have a host of saints around us and say that the way of serving Jesus Christ is a blessing. And we can point to a lot of people surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, Scripture tells us, using those as examples. When our children hurt, I'm not talking about falling down and skinning their knee or stubbing their toe, scratching a finger or a bee sting, whatever it may be, and those kinds of things. But when our children are hurt by others, we can explain to them the reality of sin, and the cure is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Teachable moments. That Jesus came, gave His life, shed His blood so that we could have our sins forgiven, washed away, and given a new heart, given a new life, serving God. It's admonition for all of us, whether we still have children at home trying to raise them, rear them, train them, or if we have grandchildren, or none of the above. We are just part of the family of God, and we have these children around us, blessed by so many children around us. We have a responsibility. We have a huge responsibility. We dare not take it lightly. For God has blessed us with kids. Let's bless His kingdom with kids, children that are ready to serve God, ready to do the Lord's will. Let's stand together this morning.